Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk.
Hello, Egg Chasers. JB, are you there?
Hello, Tim. Hello, how are Tim. You? Yeah.
Right. Now, listen. The point of this little introduction, and this is not the podcast, we should stress, this is recorded after the podcast, but coming on before the podcast, because it's basically an apology because we bodged up, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I couldn't be any more furious than what I was last night about 1 a.m, not being able to get hold of the audio that we spent an hour and 10 minutes recording.
Yeah, that's right. So Sunday night, and bless him, Phil, you know, he'd only just been married less than basically 24 hours, and he was in the rugby dungeon recording the latest Egg Chasers podcast so that you would have something to listen to on a Monday on your way to work or way back from work. Phil, absolute Trojan, and he was there and we recorded it, and JB's computer decided to go into Windows update mode.
Yeah, because do you know what? The one thing somebody wants when they're in the middle of a really important piece of work, such as a podcast, is updated software. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more. In fact, when I got the update, I was like, thank God it's deleted my podcast in order to have got a slightly different background.
Exactly. However, fortunately, because JB has invested in some pretty awesome kit, we do actually record and stream the podcast at the same time on Facebook Live. So follow us on Facebook and then you can actually watch us do it on a Sunday evening. But I've managed to get the audio from that Facebook video. And so you are going to be able to hear the podcast, but that explains why it doesn't sound quite as crisp and as clear as we normally do.
Exactly. This is audio from Facebook Live. So if you want to find better audio, go onto Facebook Live, watch the whole podcast live and actually watch us. Or if you're happy with this, well, thanks for sticking with us, I guess.
Yeah, finally, because let's be honest, this is your mess up, right?
Yeah.
So I'm playing some sad music. Can you just like do a proper apology?
I sincerely apologise for using Windows computers when I've invested so much time and effort into this podcast. The first time in 2 years I've let you all down, but I have let you down. And for that, I sincerely apologise.
So, well done, JB. That sounded really sincere as well.
It is sincere.
So, without further ado, this is the podcast we recorded on Sunday in slightly poorer audio quality, but we thought you'd prefer having it than not. Thank you very much for listening and bearing with us. Enjoy!
Ever change what you do because one person doesn't like it.
Bullshit. So, let me just fill you in.
That's a good point.
If you are just joining us on the Facebook live stream, or you're hearing this on the podcast, I previously asked him a question about his job, and now he's finished that question. I can confirm this is the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to start this podcast with a bit of a tip, which I used that Tim gave me last week. So this is Tim's tip this week about how to do his job. Me last week was about McDonald's.
Oh.
Yeah.
The secret menu tip.
The secret menu tip. Because of Tim, I was in a standoff with a McDonald's worker refusing to move from their drive-thru in Stockport until they gave me an extra big tasty burger on my burger.
You wanted double meat.
I wanted double meat. And they said, we can't do that. We can't do that because my business manager says it's too many calories.
No one tells me how many calories need to go into my body.
Exactly. Maybe someone should tell me. Then she said, right, well, if I'm going to do that for you, I'm going to charge you a load of money. I went, how much? £2. I went, deal. So, only Ugo Monier can use that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad. I guess, are there some McDonald's that are franchises where an individual owns them rather than the corporate owns them? Because maybe that makes a difference.
Well, whatever it is, I got my Big Tasty and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Good man.
Right, boys, let's get our hands in. Just me and Phil, because Tim's away. Hands in.
My hand is...
It's kind of in. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast that takes all the games too seriously. I'm JB with Phil.
Hello, JB.
Who's actually in studio. And of course, hello, mate. And where are you today?
I'm in Croydon at the moment, having been to Twickenham, Richmond, via Lancaster for Wedding of the Year, is what I've heard it's been being called by OK Magazine.
Wow. Incredible scenes. I can confirm that it was the Wedding of the Year, and it's on social media. So we are on at Rugby Podcast, and also we are on iTunes. And it'd be great if occasionally, just occasionally, one of you would leave us a review.
Harry glued touch and left a 5-star review saying, "This podcast is the opposite of Manu Tuilagi. Wow. It's free and you get to enjoy it every single week."
Very good.
He says, "I doubt Richard Cockerell will be listening." Yes, absolutely. Phil, well, we have a full complement, 100%. Married men, and for the time being at least one of us is happily married, because it's only just a day into his brand new marriage. Phil's wedding in Lancaster was a triumph, a wonderful day. I just want to say well done, Philip.
Thanks, mate. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Your selection of veils was outstanding. The salty kiss, I could take or leave.
Oh, God. The single worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
to kind of give you an 330ml cans, we had Neck Oil, Beavertown Brewery Neck Oil, which we had 192 of those, and there were 8 left. So we've gone through 180 plus of those.
Good.
The Salty Kiss, we had 48. And there were 30 left, so we only went through 18 salty kisses, and I think I drank half of that.
Yeah, and I think 8 of them were fines.
they were forfeits.
Yeah. Well, today on the show we have Sale Leicester, which I want to get into in depth. I've got a quiz, which I'm incredibly excited about. Tim, I believe you've got a rugby social.
Yeah, JB, you mentioned this quiz at the wedding yesterday and said, "I need to... stop talking about it now because I don't want to give it away." Are you more excited than you were about the legendary, iconic Nazi Springbok or Nazi war criminal?
It's not going to be that good, but it's going to be okay.
Oh, that's good.
It's
going to
be good.
And I do have a rugby social, yeah.
But before any of that, why don't we talk about the EPS?
Yes, good idea. Because that's one of the bits of rugby that I have seen this week.
What, you've seen a list of players that someone else has picked for you?
Yes.
Well done.
I've read off a list.
So what are our immediate thoughts on the EPS, lads?
My overwhelming thought was, there's a few surprises, but I expect the match day squad to look very, very similar to what we saw in Australia. Mm-hmm. But it's good to get some of the surprises in. I mean, in the backs... Lazowski, Ben Spencer, Marchant, but Lazowski and Ben Spencer, and Mike Haley, actually. Lazowski and Spencer are probably two of the biggest surprises.
Lazowski is an interesting one because, yes, he has come off the back of a 40-point win this weekend. I don't think he's good enough. I really don't.
Who would you have ahead of him? Would you have Sippers ahead
100%.
Of him? 100%. Because that's been the big talking point, 100%. Hasn't it?
So Eddie Jones' position on that was his justification for picking Lazowski and leaving Cipriani on the sidelines is he said Cipriani's the kind of guy that needs to be the main man, so I'm not going to pick him as a third choice. He has to be playing better than Ford or Farrell to get into the squad.
Well,
but he said very much the options open there for him to do so.
So that for me, I read into that as he could potentially be a disruptor. Character in the camp.
That's interesting.
Because I've never heard anyone say that used that terminology before for a player. Never heard it.
Well, okay, I can kind of see some reasoning in that case, which is if you bring in Sippers, he has to start, he has to be the guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to get no benefit whatsoever by being the third guy. And in that case, yeah, I can see the argument for Lozowski, or whatever his name is. What is his name?
It's Lozowski.
Lozowski, right? Lozowski.
Lozowski sounds more like a New York NYPD cop, but it is Lozowski, unfortunately.
Fine. Whereas he will benefit from it greatly. And I guess if you're going to say, look at the All Blacks, the way they bring through their players and have had exposure and all the rest of it, he is of a different generation to the other guys.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Farrell's a bit older. I think Sippers would be the oldest of the three if he was there.
He would be, yeah, by...
Comfortably.
By 3 or 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe it does make sense.
Yeah.
I tell you what wouldn't make sense, though.
Go on.
Looking at Slade at fly half.
No. He's a 12... Well, he's a centre. Or certainly... All of his rugby has been played at centre. The little bit we've got at 10 wasn't as good as his play as a centre.
The information I got last season was that Slade wanted to play 10.
Yeah.
And that is where he saw his future. So it could be one of those situations where, Ben Foden left Sale Sharks partly because he wanted to play scrum half, not fullback.
Yeah.
And actually... It just turned out when he did it. Actually, you're not really a scrum half, mate. You're more a fullback. So it could be that Slade will accept you're more a centre. I wouldn't rule it out completely. Yeah.
No,
I would rather have Alex Goode at 10 than Slade.
Would you?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Because I think Slade's I think Goode is simply the best rugby player in all of the UK.
Well, interestingly. When you look at the 37-man squad, so this is the one which the match day side will be selected from for the Autumn Internationals, Goode is listed with the two tens.
Oh, that's interesting.
So,
so
the way it's listed, they sort of bracket each position, and it's not to say that Goode is being thought of as a fly half, but the fact that he's been listed, it says Ford Farrell Goode. I don't know if that's alphabetical, actually. No, because it was done, it had the little colon thing to... denote the different positions.
That's interesting.
Whether that's the newspaper journalists or whether that's come from Eddie Jones, we'll see. But he has been listed with the other.
Okay, I'm going to read some names now. Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
Mike Haley.
Yeah.
Johnny May.
Yeah.
Jack Nowell.
Yeah, I can see where this.
Yeah, Ben Taylor.
Manu Tuilagi.
Manu Tuilagi.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a healthy position for England to be in to have all those guys with so little Premiership rugby? This season?
Not great, but all of those positions, you have got other cover elsewhere in the squad.
Okay. I think Manu Tuilagi should be nowhere near the team.
I think that's probably fair.
I think Ben Taylor's slightly different. He's got a concussion. He's physically fit. He can go and train. So that's reasonable, I guess. Johnny May. I mean, he is so far off fitness. He might be actually... back in training though,
yeah,
and getting fit. But because South Africa,
but the thing is, it's the same like with Ben Teo. You know, he brings something very different. Johnny May, again, he brings something very different. He might not be able to play, but no one else wears cycling shorts quite as long as Johnny May. That's
except for Henry Trinder.
Yeah, but he's even less fit than Johnny May is.
True. No, I think just with Johnny May, he needs game time more than anything else. He needs game time. I mean, if you had him in the England squad, you couldn't ever think of selecting him.
Yeah. There's another point that you made very interesting, Tim. So I would expect the starting team, certainly, and the Matchday 23 to be very similar to what we saw in both the Six Nations and the Australia Tour, with one very obvious notable exception, which is James Haskell is completely out of the Autumn Internationals.
And so yeah.
You've got a big void to fill there because, I mean, his first game against Australia was one of the best performances by an open side flanker I've ever seen. He was absolutely unbelievable.
Mm.
So how do you do it?
Well, that's an interesting one. I've heard a rumour from you guys that they're looking at Maro Itoje. That can't be true.
I didn't think that could be true either, but yeah, there was an article today that apparently that's one of the options that Eddie Jones has got. But it doesn't kind of stack up for me because he's brought in both Sam Jones and Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Well, that's part in place of Haskell and Clifford. But basically, both of those guys do that defensive seven, destructive defensive seven kind of role.
Yeah.
So you would think he would go for one of those who plays in that actual position rather than putting Maro Itoje onto the open side. But
do you know what the Mike Williams is more. He's a lock or a six in my mind.
Yeah.
He's closer to an Itoje type than a Sam Jones. So that's. Because you saw Tamina Harrison play very briefly in Australia. And Eddie Jones is also. So he name-checked Chris Robshaw as a six.
Well, it's weird, isn't it, that the only player, basically in the whole of England, who can't play seven is Chris Robshaw.
Yes. Yeah.
The only guy.
But so he name-checked Chris Robshaw as a six, but he said he wants the six to be a very hard worker, which is what Chris Robshaw does. And he wants more of an abrasive seven. So you'd think Harrison would fit that bill, potentially.
Except
but it's also the... He's kind of moved Robshaw to six, but then describing what he wants out of him more as a sevens role in the terms of the out-and-out hard work and just number of involvements.
I tell you the man who must be most upset about all of this.
Go on.
Matt Kvesic. I mean, there is almost like no sevens left in all of England.
Yeah.
And he's not being considered.
Yeah.
Not even close to being considered. I'm quite shocked that I've not been considered. Obviously, Lockie McCaffrey. Obvs.
Yeah.
But also, on a serious note, Brendan O'Connor, I thought, has been outstanding for England.
For Leicester.
For Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing well.
He's been brilliant. not even a squad call-up.
No,
I'm not buying any of it. I quite like the pragmatism of saying we don't have anyone international caliber in that position. We've got Will Evans as our long term project. We've involved him in the wider squad.
Yeah,
you know, 19 year old England under 20 World Cup winner with Leicester, hasn't really only played one Premiership match. So he's a long term project. But we don't have anyone, so we're gonna carry on with this Haskell style blueprint. And you've got a bunch of players that can do that. We haven't even talked about guys like Dave Ewers, who could be within that squad in that kind of Mike Williams kind of mould.
Yeah. So, or Don Armand as well.
Don Armand's a good shout.
Don Armand, yeah. There's a lot of guys who are of an unproven equal level who I'm not convinced are international calibre. So I'm a little bit meh. About that particular area,
yeah.
When you get below the surface,
my only concern with this whole England EPS, hang on, is that like England player squad? I've just said then.
No, elite.
Is it the England? It's not like pin number.
Yes,
good. it just doesn't seem to reflect the form players in the Premiership this year.
So who would you who? We've mentioned Cipriani. Let's have a quick roll call for people that we think deserve to be in. Because the other names, let's just remember some other names that are in. Dan Robson's also in, which is great.
Yeah.
Tommy Taylor is also in, which is fantastic. I think Luke Cowan-Dickie might feel hard done by that. He's been edged out as the third choice by the look of it. Tom Youngs has come. Well, he's only just come back. But England's hookers, we are stacked. But anyway, so who do you think should feel hard done by then?
Oh, you've put me on the spot now. I've not really considered that question.
I would say there's a problem at 12.
Yeah, 100%.
And the in-form 12 in the league is Jimmy Gopeth.
Interesting, that, isn't
now,
it?
Now, I wouldn't call him up for England, but he is available.
Is he qualified? Do you?
Maybe not because of the stint in Ireland.
Do your 3 years have to be consecutive years?
Yeah, I think they do prior to...
Oh, I don't... We can't be having this. I'm happy to have Nathan Hughes because it bolsters England's chances of winning a World Cup. And also from him as an individual, he deserves to make as much coin as he can as a player and squeeze out the value from his talent, which he can do as an England international.
But it makes me feel
a little bit dirty about talking about Jimmy Gopeth as an England player.
I'm not seriously talking about as an England player.
I'm just saying
you've got an issue at 12. You've got the form 12 in the league, who's one of the most informed players in any position in the league.
Yeah.
What about Gopeth for 12, not for England, for the Lions?
For the Lions?
Well, why not?
That would be a hell of a bolter.
Yeah.
He's been within Britain and Ireland for the past 3 years.
I don't think the Lions have any qualification rules, do they?
You probably have to be eligible for one of those countries. You don't have to have played for a country.
No, because Will Greenwood was the last non-capped player to go.
Was he?
Yeah.
Let's get serious for a second. Is there anyone that we think deserves to be in the squad that isn't? Because I think it's kind of... It makes a lot of sense. I think everyone's... Lots of people have been rewarded that deserve to have been rewarded.
Yes, there are people. And I don't know who these people are, but I'll just say anyone at 12 other than Manu, because Manu doesn't deserve to be there. Same goes for Johnny May, definitely. And...
Oh, because Rocco's back in, by the way, which we were calling for. Fantastic. That's great to see.
Yeah,
basically, I'd have a different 12 and another winger from somewhere.
Will Addison.
I love Will Addison.
Will Addison's a
good player. No, I think he's a great premiership player. I don't think he's England international class.
Oh, he could do a hell of a job.
There's talk that he might play for Ireland.
Is there? Yes, because his mum's Irish.
Yeah. From Ulster.
Just like there's talk that now he was left out, Guy Thompson is eligible for Wales.
I'll take him.
Right. Guy Thompson's playing very well at the moment.
Right, okay. Guy Thompson. Actually, there's something very interesting about Guy Thompson, which you ought to know.
Okay.
But we'll do that after we talk about Cornerstone.
Okay.
So, do you want me to reel this off, Tim, or have you got some?
I would just say that I think the important thing you were going to say about Guy Thompson, or the interesting thing you were going to say about Guy Thompson, I'm pretty sure it is that. Did you know he shaves his arms with Cornerstone razors so that people have a completely unobscured view of his sleeve tattoos?
No, is that true? That's amazing.
It must. Yeah.
How do I go about getting hold of some Cornerstone?
Cornerstone, what you mean, the best ranked razor that won the GQ Award Best Razor Award, beating £1,000, you could sample the best razor available, aluminium shaft, which means you would be able to hold that beautiful precision German engineered shaft in your hand, take a picture of your shaft and send us a picture on Twitter at Rugby Podcast of your shaft, hashtag show us your shaft.
Wow.
Turn safe search on if you're doing that by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
egg 10 at checkout.
So, is that what you meant, JB?
That's exactly what I meant. Now,
good.
Guy Thompson.
Yes.
Guy Thompson was almost a buzzword in the rugby dungeon for not very good.
Yes.
Only a year ago.
Yeah. He was.
He played instead of Nathan Hughes. So, like, if Nathan Hughes is injured, go, oh, no, Guy Thompson's in.
And
that would actually make us all laugh.
Yeah.
He got picked up and dumped by Freddie Michalak against Toulon. And all of a sudden, he is awesome. Do we know why?
George Smith coaching.
Is George Smith coaching?
Well, he was doing all the coaching while he was there, wasn't he?
I have no idea, but he's an absolute revelation. And he's been
threatened by Dai Young that if he doesn't play well, he has to drink a can of Salty Kiss afterwards.
Oh, no one deserves that. But yeah, actually, it's probably a good time to link that into the Wasps game. Did anyone see this?
Well, is there anything else from the EPS then?
Oh, sorry.
Just before we leave it, like, I don't think there's many other talking points to have or...
No, other than Mike Williams might be interesting. If he can catch a ball, he's a really good player.
Good. I don't think he'll be anywhere near the starting team or even the 23.
Yeah, but you probably thought that about Tamona Harrison.
Yes, and now he isn't anywhere near
it. Good point. Unlucky rusted.
Right, you're picking the team tomorrow. Who starts scrum half? Because I think that's one of those positions where if you picked on form... It would be questionable if you picked on... But I think Eddie Jones will go back to the team that have done so well for him in Down Under.
Yeah.
If you were picking... And in the Six Nations. So if you were picking tomorrow, who would you pick?
He will go for Ben Youngs. I have no doubt about that.
Robson.
Yeah, I agree.
I would probably pick Robson. If you're just talking about form at the moment, he's been exceptional. But I'd be very interested to see how much game time Ben Spencer can get at Saracens.
If any.
Because he started. Did he start this week?
He did.
Yeah. And he's playing every time he's come off the bench.
I'll put it out there. If Ben Spencer was at any other club, he would be number one, except for at Wasps. He'd be the number one scrum half.
He'd be, well, he'd be number one at Wasps as well. He'd be joint third number one.
Yeah.
So, okay. Shall we talk about some games?
Yeah, so do you start with Wasps then?
Yeah, so I actually watched all of this.
Yeah.
I watched it because it was available online and the scoreline suggested that there's going to be lots of interesting points to come out of it. There weren't. Wasps are a very good team, stacked full of individuals. They play kind of nice rugby, but their talent is beyond doubt, and that's why they are so good. Harlequins don't seem to do anything right whatsoever.
Just this week?
Well, the problem is...
They beat Saracens last week.
Well, here's the problem.
With a massive defence, with a huge defensive effort.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think the problem is going to be now that they've got this almost fly in the ointment, which suggests that they are a very good team. And they're not. They are towards the bottom of the table. I think they're third from bottom. From what I could see today, in attack, they offer nothing other than try to get the ball to Marlon Yard and Tim Visser, who are quite good. Jamie Roberts is a blunt instrument. They don't seem to run any patterns. There's no urgency. In defence, they don't work hard enough. It's just completely lacklustre. I think there's something wrong with the overall structure of Harlequins, and I think they need... it's too early to say they need a clear out, but you know, if this continues, it's going to have to be spoken about that get rid of all the coaching staff and start again.
I said, I think it was last week or the week before, I said that I think nice guy, good club man, and I think it's nice for John Kingston to have got that role, proper Harlequins man, but I think that was the time, after 6-odd years with Conor O'Shea, that was the time to shake it up and get in a really experienced, wily head, and I suggested Wayne Smith, for example,
couldn't agree more,
as the kind of guy that could have really changed the mentality at Harlequins. Now, what I do know is I have been led to believe that Harlequins, John Kingston, has tried to change the mentality. So Conor O'Shea always used to talk about all of the England players that made it into the EPS and all the finals they've been into and how they won it 5 years ago or whatever it was. Apparently all trace of anything in the past and any of those glories and finals, all the pictures have been completely ripped out of the changing room. It's a total, like, no reference to the past at all from John Kingston. Except for their throwback kit, which is a wonderful... And that kit deserves a side playing a lot better, but I just don't think John Kingston was the man to actually bring about a new change, which Harlequins needed.
If I was John Kingston, and I'm not, for the record,
you can confirm.
I can confirm I'm not John Kingston. When I got that role, I would have let go pretty much. And I wouldn't let them go, but I would have rejigged my coaching staff. I think that's the secret, because he's director of rugby now. He's not a coach. What he actually did is he brought back Nick Easter. Now, if your problem, as suggested on the Rugby Dungeon by Joe Marler, is that they didn't defend because it's all about their individual performance, not about the team collective, why would you bring back a guy who was basically, well, part of that setup for so long? You want to say completely fresh.
Yeah. They have brought a new coach in Roundtree.
Yes.
But the forwards, that's probably a good appointment because that was their biggest weakness last year.
And they're not good in the scrum, to be fair.
Yeah, their scrummaging has been solid.
But they're just not good. And the Mike Brown angry man thing is starting to wear a bit thin, though. He wasn't beating men. The only two players... they all looked... The outside backs looked fairly lively. But that was it. That's the only good thing I can really say.
In terms of...
We're going over old ground a little bit, because we pretty much said exactly this last week, didn't we? Two weeks ago.
Last week, they're the best team on earth.
Yes. They beat the best team on earth, so they were the best team on earth. But now Wasps have beat the former best team on the earth, Harlequins, mm-hmm. because they beat Saracens. Wasps unbeaten, five out of five, top of the Premiership at the moment. Can they actually do it? Can they win the whole thing?
Well, beating Leicester.
But Leicester, defensively, Leicester are pretty
weak.
Poor. They've had one very good performance out of five this year.
Yes, that's good. Good point. Harlequins, who else have they beaten? Northampton?
Yeah, they beat Northampton at Franklin's Gardens, but a Northampton who were on top and just couldn't score the points.
I'm going to say yes, they can do it, which is, yeah, which is not what I said at the start of the season, but they are, you know, they can only met every test.
Well, not this coming, yes, next Saturday, sorry, next Sunday even, we will find out, because they travel to Allianz Park.
Wow.
To play Saracens.
That will be huge.
That will be absolutely massive. And I don't think they'll be able to beat Saracens.
Do you not?
No, not at Allianz Park.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that artificial surface almost plays into their hands.
Yeah, maybe it does.
So, interestingly, I wonder if the Saracens team selection for this week was based on the fact that next week they're going to have a right old rumble.
Yes, and they've had an easier game because they played Bristol.
Yeah. What did you think of the Bristol team selection, Tim?
The Bristol one, sorry.
The Saracens team selection for Bristol.
I think it was smart. They've got a big squad. You've got to be able to have trust in your guys that step up. And yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I've got to say, once again, Saracens make me look like a fool. And I think it's safe to say that the Saracens coaching staff know more about rugby than me. like, I looked at that team, I thought there's a good chance that Bristol will get a bonus point and they might push for some sort of result. Based on the fact that their backs are all basically from the Championship, plus Brad Barrett. So Spencer, Lazowski's obviously from Wasps, but he's young.
But he came from Leeds.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he was at Yorkshire Carnegie, or whatever they're called these days.
Yeah, and then there's Ellery, Wiles, and a guy who's making his debut. So I thought, yeah, surely they can do something, they can pop up some points. Absolutely not even close.
But the difference was Saracens had what looks like their first choice, their strongest possible pack.
Yeah, the pack, so they had the monstrous.
The weakened backs, but the absolutely monstrous pack.
Yeah, if Bristol want to stay up, if they want to do anything this year, well, I actually didn't think that their attacking was a problem against Exeter, but their defence is horrific, and particularly around the breakdown. They don't guard it well, they don't bodyguard well. That's a key concern, as far as I'm concerned. It's all very well saying we're going to score bonus points, but you need to defend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you need to score some points against Saracens. And that will be very interesting to see Saracens against Wasps, because we've got by far the best attack in the league. They've scored almost 50 points more than anyone else in the five games, against by far the best defence in the league, who conceded 50 fewer points than anyone else in the league.
Is that right?
So that is going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I'm massively looking forward to that. Shall we have a quick quiz?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
All right, then. So, yeah, I've just done you a quick quiz. It's nothing too important based on the rugby, which has already happened this season. This is a rugby player or male adult same-sex entertainer.
Can you go over that title again, please?
It's rugby player or same-sex adult entertainer.
Same-sex.
Even though I am remote and you can't see me, you can only hear me, I will promise you, because of the nature of this, I will under no circumstances be Googling any names to try and work out the answer.
Exactly. It's Google-proof.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the first name, all right? Adam Wild. So, does Adam Wild hang around in the showers after a hard shift inside the pack, or is he a rugby player?
I'm going to say he is a same-sex adult entertainer. I don't recognise the name.
Ooh.
Wild, you could kind of imagine working in a kind of punny kind of way.
I'm going to say he's a rugby player.
The rugby player. Okay. I can confirm that Adam Wild was the 1996 best adult performer.
Best adult performer.
So well done, Tim.
Yes.
You've got one.
What made him so impressive, JB? What won him win the award?
I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to go back into the annals of history.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next name, Luca Biggie. So, is Luca Biggie a man that performs with other men under the white hot pressure of the camera, or is he an adult entertainer?
Say the name again.
Luca Biggie.
I think he might be a Romanian rugby player.
Ooh. Tim?
I am also saying rugby player. I think you found the name and you're trying to throw me off scent. I think you're trying to throw me off scent.
I can tell you, Luca Biggie plays for Treviso.
Treviso?
Yes! Ah.
Treviso's very own Luca Biggie.
So that's 2-1 to 10.
Can I just say as a little tease, because I'm a radio professional, so I understand how to keep an audience on the edge of their seat in the audio sphere.
Okay.
Can I just say, I have just received a WhatsApp message with some very, very interesting news from a source.
Oh, wow.
About a player movement that could be happening at the end of the season. It's come from a source very, very close to me and very, very reliable. And I'll tell you about it soon.
Wow. Is that, by any chance, is that player Buck Stradling?
Buck Stradling?
That. Buck Stradling.
That has to be a rugby player, surely.
Buck Stradling. I'll just make it interesting and say same-sex entertainer.
I can confirm Buck Stradling is in the Hall of Fame as an entertainer.
Oh, wow.
What a name.
Wow, Buck Stradling. All right, boys. George Harder.
I know this one.
Do you?
George Harder. I'm pretty sure. I think so. Oh, wow. Wow, God, you might have just given it away there, JB. I know that there's a guy that sounds like that who has played or does play or did play.
Interesting.
At Leicester. So I'd love to know how
you know this guy.
So I'm going to say he's a same-sex performer then.
George Harder is, in fact, a rugby player.
For whom?
I think he's Samoan. In fact, I think he might have even played for London Irish.
Okay.
Yeah, that rings a bell, actually. Maybe he's Irish.
Or Samoa, something like that. And last one.
Yeah, number eight, right? Number eight, I think.
Yes, anyway. Yeah. I'm sure he's London Irish, actually.
How do you spell?
Yeah, it was.
I'm on my work laptop here. I'm not sure I want to Google it.
Go on, Phil. Go on. George Harder's safe. Go on.
I'll leave it.
How? Rockland.
Do you go first, Phil, or me go first?
I'll go first, because you're miles ahead. Okay. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say he's a same-sex performer.
Tim?
I would have said the same, but I'll make it interesting. I'll say rugby player.
Hal Rockland, most improved adult entertainer in 1996.
Good, you're really going heavy on the 1996.
Well, that's my favourite genre.
JB's all about vintage.
Exactly.
He likes to see Bush. He likes to see some hair on his same-sex entertainers.
And last one. Dean Budd.
Dean Budd?
Same-sex performer.
Oh, I'll just say rugby player. Will this tie it up if Phil gets it?
No,
it won't.
No.
You've still won.
I've already won. I'll just say rugby player then, that's fine.
Well, does Dean Budd make his living using excellent ball skills, or is he a rugby player? I can confirm Dean Budd is, in fact, a no-. so rugby player.
Yeah.
That's right. It was a massacre.
Oh, wow.
You really know your gay porn, Tim.
Fair play, Tim.
Oh, too
I knew
right,
that would be a favourite.
Right, too right.
So,
what's the trophy, JB?
The Trofeo Trophy.
The
Trofeo Cup.
Nice. Lovely. I'll take it. So, do you want to hear this bit of gossip?
Go for it, mate.
Yes.
Live unfolding gossip. So today, all I will say is I spent the day at a wonderful christening after party bit thing. It was my nephew's christening. Unfortunately, because of your wedding, Phil, I got to miss the actual religious christening bit, which was great. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
But I got there for just in time for dessert and coffee, which was and cheese, which was wonderful.
Perfect.
So. But there were loads of London Irish boys there and various other rugby people. Anyway, I've just received a message. I'll leave the source nameless, but you will love this, JB.
Go on.
You may even have had a whiff of this yourself. End of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Ferns.
Okay.
Leicester Tigers.
Yes. So... I have heard the rumour is ongoing. I didn't realise there's any decisions yet, but
I don't think it's quite at decision point. But yeah, that is just to confirm. You know how like have you ever watched the Newsroom? I know you probably hate that show, don't you?
I hate it with a passion, mate.
Yeah,
with an absolute but the Newsroom. Passion.
Well, they always go for two sources, and this is now a second source for the same story. So we can now go with it.
Go live.
Carl Ferns Leicester there's a very very strong chance that could happen.
Well,
it's definitely a strong option for Carl Ferns.
If you want a heavyweight abrasive seven for England, look no further. About as destructive as they get.
Completely. If you want to have a destructive defence focused heir to Haskell, Ferns is get the silver back.
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Yeah,
if they pick him up, I think that's a great signing.
Yeah, because they do need a ball carrier, an additional ball carrier in that back row, don't they? So interesting.
Should we touch on some of the other games?
Well, do you want to talk on Leicester? Leicester, his future employer or alleged future employer and his former employer.
Well, okay. Well, of course, hear me now, believe me later. Not that anyone ever does, but I did say last week Sale are the most exciting team with ball in hand. Well, they didn't do too much of that this week, but they did score a lot of tries, and they are very, very exciting. I've got to say, I was absolutely gobsmacked that they managed to do this. Absolutely gobsmacked.
How much of it? Because I've seen 3 or 4 minute highlights of this game. How much of it was Sale performing, and how much of it was Leicester underperforming, failing to make their tackles, which has been a bit of a problem with Leicester.
So the Leicester defence isn't the stingy Leicester defence of old.
No.
So that's out the window. But they do play rugby and they do score. So whichever way you look at it, you've got to score the 34 points in order to win it.
Yeah.
So it is a fact. It is in fact that Sale are very, very good going forward.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is actually Mike Phillips. I think Mike Phillips is a wonderful signing.
It's a Lions year.
Yeah, exactly. Always turns it on for Lions year.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure from the stuff I've seen of Sale Sharks this season. I actually think, and it's interesting that in the last game, Peter Stringer was selected, but he's out injured now, so couldn't have been selected. I'd love to know who they would have started this
weekend
if Stringer was available. Because I don't think Mike Phillips is... service is quick enough because Sale, as you've pointed out, JB, like to get the ball into the wide channels as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike Phillips facilitates that as well as Stringer.
That's and interesting. I think there's definitely an argument to say Mike Phillips' service from the base of a ruck isn't as quick as Stringer's, but that's not where I'm going with this. I think having Mike Phillips there actually speeds up the ball. He gets the ball out quicker. The pass might not... I mean, when the pass is fired, it's very, very quick. But he has to pick it up. He has that little bit of wind up. But what he does really well is he digs the ball out quicker than anyone. So you've got the ball carrier, you've got the ruck, and then Mike Phillips is already on the ball, digging it out, passing it.
He's like a little pig after truffles, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's almost because he doesn't have the ball on the ground that he doesn't have to dig it out with his feet and then pass off the floor. It's very effective, and you know that is why he's got so many Wales caps, so many Lions caps, so many good performances for the Lions. I was sceptical of this signing, but watching him yesterday, he looked brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
That was like Mike Phillips of old, wasn't it?
I think he's great. I think he looks absolutely great. As long as we can keep him out of the clubs and bars of Manchester, I think he's going to do absolutely fine at Sale. He's just the kind of abrasive guy that they like.
So he was good. Peter Beetham as well. His first try was very easy.
Yeah.
Second try was absolutely.
But he sort of went to sleep second half. But all of Leicester seemed to go to sleep second
most,
half.
Most of them.
Interesting to see. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across. No, you carry on. Finish your point. Finish your Peter Beetham point. It's fine.
That was it. Just looking good. And he's kind of having to play in the centre as he did last year due to injuries.
Yeah.
Because they previously would have had Tuilagi there, and obviously the Australian Tamua.
Has arrived.
Ned Tamua.
That's a boy.
Tamua has arrived.
Joe Tamani.
But Tamua Sorry. And Scott Fardy. our offensive Australian accent. Tamua, he's arrived, but he's struggling with concussion, I believe. He's had four concussions in the last few years.
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. You've got, between him and Tuilagi, the best part of £1 million spent on two centres, who, with unknown return dates, unknown availability dates.
I think that's sackable. I think as for a director of rugby to spend that kind of money on those sort of injuries, it should be sackable.
Difficult.
Yeah. I think Sale are going to do very well this season. You've got to remember this. No Sam James. Now, for those of you who haven't seen Sam James, which is most rugby fans, the guy is 6'4".
Really? But I think that's a really patronising thing to say, David.
Because they're on team.
He started every game for him last season when he was fit.
Yeah, so when would you ever see a full game of Sam James playing? Because Sale are televised four times this year and he wasn't fit for this second game. So you've only
In the Premiership,
yeah.
I guess.
So you've only got two more times. Too, yeah, exactly. All season to see him in the Prem. And, you know, with the best will in the world, people don't tune into Sale games. This guy
I would say that any listeners of this podcast are clearly a very, very intelligent rugby audience, because someone's got to bring the intelligence. It's not us. So I should assume it's our listeners.
Yeah, I guess so. That does kind of stack up. But Sam James is out, and who else have they got? They've got loads of lads out. I can't remember. Anyway,
Mike Haley.
Oh, of course, Mike Haley and Rob Webber.
Mugford, Stringer.
Stringer's out. Mugford's available.
Oh, is he back now?
Yeah, Sale are
down. TJ Ioane.
Is he out?
Don't know.
Yeah.
I do know, and this is mental. Sale. If you're a Sale fly half, you will work every day that God sends. Because they've got AJ McGinty.
Yeah.
He played well, very well yesterday.
But wasn't kicking.
No, he wasn't. Addison was.
Yeah, that's interesting.
6-6 from six as well.
Well, I wonder
100%.
I wonder if he's not kicking because of his hamstring. That was his injury.
Maybe. Yeah.
So you've got TJ and then you've got Mugford. And then the next fly half they've got is currently in service in Fylde Rugby Club, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. So every game, they basically have the same two on rotation. And that's it.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing last year. The only two fly halves they had last year was Joe Ford and Dennis Cipriani.
And Sippers. Yeah.
Which I think is crazy. You'd thought they'd have like an academy lad or something.
Well, Sale have one of the smallest academies, don't they? They only have a much smaller contingent than some of the big clubs.
But like, look at Harlequins. They've got what, four fly halves?
Yeah.
Four first team fly halves, and Sale have two.
Yeah. Why Saracens? They've got two, and then they've got a couple of academy lads.
Yeah, they've got academy lads, and then apparently the next after that would be Bosch.
Yeah, Bosch or Goode.
Yeah. which is weird.
I don't care about Sale's third choice fly half. Can I just put it out there? I don't really care because we're not going to see him.
Yeah, you're right.
He might do.
Couple of injuries. Let's go on to something else. Do we want to talk any more about this?
There's plenty of stuff. Sale's if you want to talk about Sale's, let's have an extra Sale third fly half dilemma breakout midweek pod.
Yes.
Fine.
anyone want to talk about anything else they've seen this week before we go on to next week's fixtures?
Yeah, George North is... this is George North's planet, and he just simply lets us live here.
What a 2 minutes from George North.
Yeah, it's quite
unbelievable. That was absolutely incredible. He turned it on. I think because we were on a WhatsApp group, and I think the point I made, I was very smug thinking, look at me, I've said something really funny. Because Northampton just looked inept with the ball in hand. And I said, Northampton are the rugby equivalent of Emil Heskey.
That made me laugh.
They have the same amount of attacking flair as Emil Heskey had as a striker. and then no sooner had I WhatsApp that than George Ford decided to shove that right down my throat and single-handedly practically win the game for Northampton.
George Ford, right?
It's George North. Ford.
George North.
George North, sorry. Did I say George Ford?
No, I said George Ford.
Yeah.
Is immense in every way a human can be immense. So, like, he's got huge height, he's got massive quads, huge power. Do you know what else is amazing? Like, if you watch Christian Wade step, they always say, oh, Christian Wade could beat you in, like, you know, on a postage stamp or in a phone booth, or, you know, he uses narrow channels really well to beat people. Not George North. When George North steps, he moves about half an acre.
However, he couldn't catch, he couldn't even make up a yard on Jimmy Gopeth.
Last week.
But I just think because he's so big, and like just every, you know, when he decides to, you know, do a little sidestep, he literally goes about 5 meters. If you look when he breaks the line, he then steps off his foot. He's right against the touchline. He's just immense when he gets going.
Do Northampton rely on him too much, or did they rely on him too much in this game?
I think Northampton's biggest problem is they rely on their size. They rely on basically beating up people both in the backs and the forwards, and just waiting for one of these big boys to break the line, and that's basically it.
I think I disagree with that a little bit. You can see when they try and play that they try and play the right way. They do. That when they get into the 22, they were trying to offload and to pass and make breaks and get into the wide channels. But they just dropped the ball, fluffed it up, overran passes. They just looked undercooked.
But look at their personnel. I mean, when they're all fit, they've got Luther Burrell in the centres, who I think it's actually a bit of a misuse of Luther, but he's actually turned into a bit of a blunt instrument now for Northampton. The PCs are often used in exactly the same way, and they're both, what, 6'2". Luther's about, what, 6 foot? 6 foot one?
Yes, he's big boy, Luther.
Yeah, George North, 6'4"?
Something like that.
They are huge.
Last season and this season, it's been scoring tries.
Mullinder's 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, he's maybe even 6'4", 6'5", I think Mullinder is.
Massive.
He's a big boy.
We did have lots of people at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, following on from last week's Rugby Social and Ellis Genge's tweet about Harry Mallander, to say, indeed, Harry Mallander is the spitting image of Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. Just to clear that one up. Yeah. Carry on, Phil.
I do think that it's them struggling. They're struggling to score points. I mean, last season we said that it looked like a backline that never played together before at times. They weren't cohesive, and I'm not quite sure what's causing that. But they're still struggling. Just looking at the table, only Newcastle and Bristol have scored less points than Northampton.
That's amazing.
In the Premiership.
Well, let's not talk about Bath Gloucester because it was an absolute snooze fest.
Well, hold on. Because on the Northampton one, let's talk about words. Would a certain fly half from Ulster make a difference to Northampton? Because they want, stories are to be believed, they're desperate for Paddy Jackson.
They cannot have him. I'm putting my foot down. There's no way they're allowed him.
Well, I don't think they're allowed him anyway, are they? I mean, they'd have to pay so much money.
IRFU surely cannot allow that.
Exactly.
To happen.
I mean, he's really important.
Mind you, the IRFU failed to stop Sexton going to Racing for.
Yeah, but I think everyone in that situation regretted that.
Yeah, they've learned some lessons from that.
If anything, that's the reason Paddy Jackson stays.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they let one guy go. Apparently, Sexton was in tears. About the whole thing, and then they all came back and made friends. I'd be amazed if they let that happen.
Yeah, I would be astonished, and because Paddy Jackson's playing superbly well for Ulster, and he is, as we spoke about last week or the week before, he is second choice behind Sexton and should be groomed to be the number one when Sexton retires in a few years' time.
Absolutely right, mate.
So
absolutely right.
It would be madness for the IRFU if they did let him go.
Yeah, but I mean, can't Pino play 10? I'm sure he's played 10 for South Africa.
Yeah, he's played 10 for Ulster as well.
Well, there's a guy with a lot of class and pedigree.
Yeah.
Why don't Northampton just go for him rather than Paddy Jackson?
He's not an out-and-out 10. He's only really played it when he's... But he's a very more than capable 10.
I mean, like...
But I think it does highlight kind of what we're talking about, that Northampton have clearly identified, whether they get Paddy Jackson or probably they won't, as for the reasons we've already said, they've clearly identified that they need a maestro that's going to actually make these talented players they've got tick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just don't think Paddy Jackson's a sensible target when there are people out there who are easier to get.
If you could get him, he would be brilliant. Let's just hope they can't get him. So yeah, well, Cruden's being talked about as coming to Europe for $700,000 plus. So it'd be France or England.
That's into France. I don't think there's a Premiership club that should pay $700,000
for Beale.
Worcester offered more than that for Tuilagi.
Yeah, Worcester offered. So
yeah, I don't.
The update on Cruden team have apparently offered €1.2 million.
Oh my word.
So that's €1 million. So that's the same as Carter. That's £1 million. Actually, no, Carter is €1 million. So, yeah, more than Carter. Wow. That's incredible.
Craziness. I wouldn't be doing it.
So we don't want...
I think we discussed this last week, that we're not going to have Cruden in the Ruby Dungeon for €1 million.
Not even popping bottles for us?
Not.
Okay.
Not even manning the Jonathan Joseph champagne.
Well, hold on. If we crowdsourced it and that's what the people wanted, who are we to stop them?
Exactly right, mate.
Okay.
We can put him to work folding up those lovely shirts that are behind, as you see on the Facebook live stream. Yeah. We should actually point out if people are watching on the Facebook live stream, you know, you can leave your comments, questions, and we could like live talk about stuff that you decide we want to talk about. Well, we should make it. Or put questions out, or anything they think of. Maybe we've missed a boat on this week's one, but we'll make sure we mention that at the start of next week's one.
Okay, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
You've thrown me off my
rugby social
train of thought. Yeah.
Oh yeah, rugby social, then fixtures, then.
Well, rugby social, Newcastle Worcester for all of 10 seconds, and
I think you've just done enough.
Yeah,
you've just done enough. Yeah. Worcester got their first win. Well done.
Completely inept. Both of them.
Right, we'll be social.
What I would say is I just want to go back to Saturday evening. And am I right in saying, Phil, you got a bit emotional at one point?
During the speech. There's one point during the speech where I can't remember what I was saying. I was saying something nice, either about Claire or my family. And I was feeling a tiny bit emotional. And I looked out and I saw our friend Harry's wife, Fiona Gorin. And she was bawling her eyes out.
Was she really?
Yeah, and it almost set me off.
Well, yeah, I know what. Come on, you're not telling the full truth there. What actually happened is, yes, you were saying something nice about your new wife, who looked absolutely stunning, by the way, and your family, who were completely charming and lovely and hospitable. But also. You had a little earpiece in, I know this, and someone had told you that Ulster had a dramatic late win in their
best day of my life because Ulster.
The Ospreys.
79th minute penalty from Paddy Jackson.
Actually, I've got a. I don't know if you know, but I don't think much of the Pro 12. Rant.
Really?
Yeah.
You should go. You should like be more forceful about that, JB. Make sure people know this.
So this year, I've made an effort, a certifiable effort, to be nicer to the Pro 12. I've suggested ways to save it by splitting it in two. That has been thrown back in my face. And today, or yesterday, were some of the most bizarre tweets from some of the most bizarre fans that I've ever watched the game of rugby. So, Cardiff went over to Leinster.
No, Leinster went to Cardiff.
Sorry, Leinster went to Cardiff, right?
Yeah.
And they had an Irish referee. Now, prior to the game, people were saying, oh, Leinster are bringing their own Irish ref with them. It won't be fair. Leinster then win. It's all the ref's fault. Oh. This is a disgrace.
Oh, God. We're better than that. This is rugby. We're better than that.
How do these morons, Tim, how do these absolute idiots who post things about refs? Now, refs can be incompetent. I have no doubt they can make bad decisions. But they are not, I can't stress this enough, they are not dishonest, and they are not crooked, and they're definitely not biased. Because that's why you don't get into reffing for those reasons. You don't get into reffing because you are a massive Leinster fan, and all you want to do is ref three games for Leinster every year, and just make sure, it in there.
Yeah, just make sure Leinster win.
I mean,
that's like people.
I hate it.
If you said, "Oh, Wayne Barnes is from Gloucester,"
someone said that.
Gloucester.
Some
Come
idiot,
on.
And I hope he's listening. He's an idiot. Said, "Oh, Wayne Barnes is from Gloucester. He shouldn't ref the Gloucester match. Gloucester should be happy. Wayne Barnes is refing the Gloucester match because he's the best referee." So, on the one hand,
Do you know what? Do you know what we're doing a little bit? You're right, but you're giving a few, and I'll actually back you up and use the word idiots. You're giving a few idiots the oxygen of the oxygen that they don't really deserve. And actually, I think the vast majority of rugby fans don't subscribe to that opinion, wouldn't mention it, and understand what rugby's about. And I think people who listen to this podcast also share the values of rugby and what makes it great. And I know what, it's a few idiots, but that's not typical.
Yeah, but Tim, I just love the dual message of the Pro 12 is awesome, except for it's corrupt to its core. I mean, they don't quite, sync those two messages, do they? When you think about it,
this is true.
So I'm just saying.
Well, that result meant that Ulster are now alone as the only unbeaten team in the Pro 12, top of the table.
Because Cardiff lost.
Yeah.
They didn't lose. They were cheated out of the
win. Oh, sorry, cheated.
Yeah, cheated.
Do you know what? Now I will say, from some of the top of the table clashes, the Pro 12 rugby over the weekend was of a good standard, and there's some teams that are really performing well. I'm interested to see in a few weeks' time, when the European ties kick in, how they get on. Yes. However, I did find out this really interesting stat this week. Phil, I know you love a stat. You'll love this. Guess the viewing figures for the Pro 12 final last year.
I found out what the viewing figures were on
Sky Television.
Oh, I'm going to say something like 300,000.
Between 200,000 and 300,000.
They'll get the same amount of viewers as we get listeners to our podcast.
Okay.
We don't get
any. The viewing figures for the Pro 12 final earlier this year, 18,000.
Oh my God, we get more listeners to our podcast than they do to their final.
There were more people in the stadium than watched it on television.
Oh my word.
Now, I will just try and stand up for the Pro 12 for a second, because if that's the Sky figure, a lot of Pro 12 games are also shown on BBC Alba or BBC Northern Ireland or whatever it is, BBC Wales, S4C. So I am going to try and say that cannot be the total number who viewed it, if there were multiple other sources. I hope.
Oh dear.
You may have a point. That is the Sky Sports viewing figures.
I mean, the BT Sports numbers aren't great. What are they? They're like 400,000 for the Premiership, or 200. They're in the hundreds of thousands, not in the millions.
I would have said 400,000 is a great number.
Yeah,
it really is. Very good number.
Boys, I'm going to have to interrupt here. We've got 9 minutes to finish this podcast, because in 9 minutes, this laptop is going to do its restart thing.
Uh-oh.
Right, very quick rugby social. Really quick.
Yeah, do it.
The wonderful world of Ellis Genge continues. Ellis Genge was tweeting that he was watching what on television? Was it a man painting with his penis, a woman washing windows with her boobs, or a couple eating food off each other's behinds?
Penis painting.
I think I have seen this, and I think it is also the penis painting. I've not seen the program.
It is penis painting.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. Chris Robshaw was ecstatic to meet who this week? Elton John, Justin Bieber, Britney Spears.
Elton John.
The Apple Music Festival has been going on in London.
Yeah, I've seen that picture as well.
Is it Elton John?
It was Elton John.
There we go. Too old.
It was Elton John. A little fact, because I did a little bit of work for O2 this week, and I got from one of the people that work at O2 with England Rugby that the most asked for tickets at the O2 Arena that they get from rugby players, Justin Bieber.
So they're all like...
Justin Bieber is who most the most number of England players wanted to go and see.
So I can't believe it.
I'll be honest. I'm more than a bit disappointed. And finally, James Haskell tweeted a picture of a fashion victim this week. But what does James Haskell regard as something for the fashion police? Is it a gilet? Is it a shirt with the top button done up? Or is it jeans and shoes?
Shirt, button done up.
I'm going to say a gilet, but it's got to be a horrible gilet, like a bright orange.
I always wear
like
gilets,
that.
It can't be that.
Okay.
Because I'm cool.
It's jeans and shoes. James Haskell has a big issue with shoes being worn with jeans. I will just stress the pictures when I've looked at all of them, because there's a Twitter account dedicated to taking pictures of men with bad jean shoe combos. It's nearly always boot cut jeans with sharp shoes.
Ooh, nice. What's the Twitter?
But James Haskell has a particular problem with jeans and shoes, as he's been tweeting about.
Hang on, look at that one.
Yeah.
And that was Rugby Social.
Excellent. Very efficient, Tim. Well
right.
done.
7 minutes.
Can you not pause?
I don't know how. I'm not
okay. Right.
Something savvy.
Fixtures.
Well, what's going to happen? Are you going to be able to save the file as well?
Yeah, that
you're going to lose it all,
that'll
are we?
Be fine.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Right, okay, so you finished the podcast, or nearly, and then you've worked out, hang on, this isn't the whole podcast, because our technical issues didn't end there, did they, Tim?
You're quite right, JB. Yes, the audio completely stopped, and what I love most is the audio completely ended at the moment when JB gave us his total reassurance that everything was going to be fine.
Yeah. But the good news is, we did our predictions, and I can guarantee that every one of my predictions, and yours, Tim, is spot on. But you'll just have to take our word for it.
Yeah, you definitely have to take our word for it, but we will get them all right. So I am going to propose an end of pod hashtag with an apologetic piece of stash, which you could win by using the end of pod hashtag. The end of pod hashtag, because Windows decided to just ruin the podcast and try and sabotage our fun, I'm going to say hashtag Bill Gates must die, maybe, just a little idea.
I'm happy for, actually, after missing one podcast, I'm happy for him to die, yeah. He should be lynched.
All right, fine.
Not lynch literally. Do not lynch Bill Gates. Do not do that.
No, we don't want to incite violence.
No, we didn't. Okay, yeah. We didn't.
In fact, can we step back from this and make it a little bit more jovial rather than sounding menacing? Screw you, Bill Gates. No.
Screw you, Bill Gates is fine by me.
Bill Gates hates rugby.
Well, he does hate rugby, Tim.
Hashtag Bill Gates hates rugby.
Bill Gates hates me. Not me personally, that's what it is. Bill Gates hates me, because if he liked you all, he'd have made sure the podcast came out.
So hashtag Bill Gates hates me. We will pick someone who uses that hashtag and we'll send some Canterbury stash your way. Hashtag Bill Gates hates me.
Yeah. Right, Tim.
Done.
Get back to entertaining the people of London on Virgin Radio. I'll get this up now.
No, hold on. London, the United Kingdom. I'm a national broadcaster now,
sorry.
JB. Come on.
The people
get
of
right.
the United Kingdom, mate.
All right. Nice one, dude.
See you later.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.